He is the host of Babbittville, an inductee into both the USA Triathlon Hall of Fame and the Ironman Hall of Fame, and the co-founder of the Challenged Athletes Foundation. It's time for another edition of Talk Story with Bob Babbitt.
The final hours, 2004 Ironman Triathlon World Championship. Alone in the stark darkness along the Queen K Highway, Dr. Ed Wolfgram kept stumbling over the orange pylons. Once, twice, three times, a 71-year-old St. Louis psychiatrist fell. When the pylons weren't his enemy, it was a drainage ditch running parallel to the highway. The Queen K is infamous for swallowing triathletes whole, sapping their energy, then frying their minds. There's the howling Mamuka winds, the bleak black lava rocks, and the seemingly endless stretches of nothing. But if you think the Queen K is daunting by day, imagine the ghosts that creep out when the sun sets behind the Pacific. When you've already swam 2.4 miles, biked 112, and then your brain wonders if you can run 26.2 miles in time to beat the midnight deadline. When only the stars, moon, and a glow-in-the-dark necklace issued by volunteers can guide you back to civilization. Of their earrings setting, Wolfgram says, you're almost in sensory deprivation. 1,729 nervous and anxious triathletes dove in the Kailua Bay for this year's Ironman Hawaii. 140 did not finish. 134 finished between 10 p.m. and midnight, when the scene along Ali'i Drive resembles the Big Island's version of the Mardi Gras. The mood is equal parts celebration and spiritual revival. Thousands of fans line the street, particularly the final 250 yards, standing 10 to 15 deep, filling the bleachers, screaming, yelling, ringing cowbells, and celebrating the triumphs of their athletic heroes. Klieg lights illuminate the finish as speakers blast rock and roll, hip-hop, funk, and soul. Native Hawaiian dancers wearing floral attire and grass skirts hula dance to the hypnotic beat of the drums. Volunteers hype the mood by tossing out freebie t-shirts, caps, and watches. Mike Riley, the voice of Ironman, greets the triathletes with his signature line, Ed Wolfgram, you are an Ironman. Wolfgram has been chasing that Ironman high for years now. He was 48 when the exercise bug hit. He was a successful doctor. Many of his peers, while burying themselves in their careers, were unknowingly burying themselves, period. They were having strokes, coronary bypasses, diabetes, hypertension, and obesity, he says. I could see I was headed for the fate of all the others. So Wolfgram started jogging. He built up the road races, and by age 53, he caught the tri-bug. He even wrote a book, It's Never Too Late, Dr. Ed Wolfgram's Book of Fitness. Wolfgram completed his first Ironman at 55. He crossed the finish this year in Kona in 15 hours, 32 minutes, and 6 seconds. Of the 10 Ironmans on his resume, 9 have come at Kona. Now in his 8th decade, Wolfgram practices yoga, Pilates, and lifts weights in addition to the swim, bike, run. Being fit, not finishing first, is his goal. People who have beaten me before are not around anymore, he says, not specifying whether they've passed on to the big triathlon in the sky or just no longer race. One of my specialties is I've survived, he adds with a devilish smile. I have not peaked yet. A survivor again. To millions of reality TV junkies, she's Dina Bennett, survivor contestant. Bennett, a 37-year-old Riverside County deputy district attorney, participated in last year's CBS hit Survivor Amazon, hacking palm leaves and roots to help build her tribe shelter. Of the show's 16 contestants, Bennett was the 8th to be voted off, then served on the jury. At Kona, she stuck around nearly to the end, finishing less than an hour before the midnight deadline. In 16 hours, 5 minutes, and 27 seconds. Watching colorful fish dart about near a reef during the 2.4-mile swim was one of Bennett's highlights. It was a reflection of how beautiful Hawaii is, she says. The bike, with the wind whipping nearly 30 miles an hour, was another story. I was looking for the road to Hawaii, says Bennett, and clearly I was on the road to hell. With excruciating pain in her left knee, Bennett remembers passing her hotel on the Queen K and being thankful her husband wasn't in sight. If he'd have been there, I'd have handed my timing chip to him, turned it in, and ordered myself a drink. She beat the 10-hour bike deadline by 30 minutes, then hung out at the T2 transition a good 15 minutes, posing and chatting with volunteers. I needed that little respite to get me on the run, says Bennett. When she made the final turn on Lee Drive, tears welled in Bennett's eyes. I couldn't believe I was doing this. You have thousands of people cheering you on as if you're winning this race. In reality, it is your race. During her 39 days on Survivor Amazon, the 5'4" Bennett dropped 27 pounds from 165 pounds to 138. A mother of two boys, ages 6 and 3, she kept shedding the pounds, weighing 125 for Ironman Hawaii. Asked which is tougher, Survivor or Ironman Hawaii, Bennett doesn't flinch. Ironman Hawaii, it doesn't even compare, she says. Anyone can sit in the jungle and starve. It requires no intellect whatsoever. But it takes moxie to survive Hawaii. This requires physical and mental action on your part. Upon crossing the finish line, Bennett draped her arms around her husband, planted a kiss on him, and said, "I've got to do this race again." Going farther and farther. When he was in high school, Frank Farrer, now 75, suffered a knee injury playing football that was so severe, doctors feared they'd have to amputate his leg. Instead, they performed a then-radical surgery, mending the knee with plastic cartilage and two platinum nails. The doctors, though, were not optimistic. They told him he'd never play golf, much less run. When he was 63, Farrer was given 2 months to live after being diagnosed with malignant lymphoma cancer in his neck. That was 12 years and 20 Ironman races ago. So when Farrer made the bike cutoff with about 30 minutes to spare this year in Kona, he was conceding nothing. But even this unfailingly optimistic man had his doubts. That left knee, he hurt playing football. It's bone on bone now. When I first started the run, I thought I wasn't going to make it. Farrer is a fascinating man. He lives in tiny Britain, South Dakota, population 1,292. It drops to 1,290 when I'm in Hawaii, jokes. I take my wife. He served as South Dakota's attorney general for 6 years and governor for two. He still works 7 days a week operating a do-it-all law practice in Britain. He owns four banks, flies his own plane, and still mows his lawn. I can't imagine retiring, he says. So during the T2 transition, Farrer started calculating, multiplying, adding, subtracting to figure out the pace he'd have to run to beat the midnight cutoff. 15 minutes a mile, he thought. A little faster than usual, says Farrer, who, like so many others, had struggled on the bike. To the thundering applause of those parting at the finish, Farrer came home in 16 hours, 45 minutes. His average mile splits, 15 minutes, 27 seconds. Farrer had been racing primarily sprint and Olympic distance races for 7 years when diagnosed with cancer in 1992. But Farrer continued short distance racing during his chemotherapy treatments. 6 months later, his cancer was in remission. 2 years after being told he had 2 months to live, Farrer raced his first Ironman. Triathlon didn't extend my life, says Farrer. It saved my life.